Good evening. This is VK2WI. Tonight's news broadcast from Amateur Radio New South Wales originates from the VK2WI facilities at Dural, Sydney, which is staffed by the volunteers of our broadcast team. Transmissions this evening are being made on frequencies between 160 metres and 23 centimetres. The announcer will advise on the transmitter status. In addition, automated relays will carry the broadcast through some regional VHF and UHF repeaters, and we thank the custodians of these systems for making the service available. Now, here are your announcer and engineer with this evening's news.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. This is the VK2WI News, live from our studios at Dural in Sydney. I'm your announcer for this evening, Peter, VK2EMU. And engineer tonight is Stuart, VK2BMX. The weather here at Dural is fine, blue skies, sun's just about going down, with a temperature around 25 degrees centigrade, inside and out. Rainfall at the VK2WI seat last week was 0 millimetre, and our transmitter status is all okay.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. March 2010 marked 100 years of the WIA, the world's oldest amateur radio society. It was started in 1910 as a result of a meeting held in Sydney by a group of experimenters seeking a better deal. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
In the news from Amateur Radio New South Wales for this week. Later in the bulletin, we'll have a summary of on-air activities from both Sydney and across New South Wales. We would welcome any updates from clubs and groups. Simply email news@arnsw.org.au. We don't need full items, just details of activity and contacts. Don't forget, we always welcome reports on the outcomes of recent activities as well. General inquiries can be directed to the ARNSW office via the email office@arnsw.org.au or by leaving a phone message on 02 9444 0123. The VK2WI news bulletins are streamed live from our website. That's arnsw.org.au/audio. And recordings of previous bulletins are also available. Tonight, we welcome listeners on the Echolink Ham Conference and the Australian and New Zealand Echolink Network. Callbacks were also taken after tonight's bulletin. Our thanks to John, VK3HJQ, and the Australian and New Zealand Echolink Network team for making this relay available. Weekly Solar and Geophysical Report. This is for the period of the 1st to the 7th of March. First, a summary of activities. Dates across the columns are 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th. 10 centimetre flux, 153, 152, 146, 140, 142, 138 and 137. The Fredericksburg Index, that's the A Index, 9, 3, 2, 0, 8, 7, 5 and 8. The Australian Index, AOS, 4, 3, 1, 9, 6, 4, 4 and 1, 2 estimated. And finally, the T-index, 1, 2, 2, 1, 0, 9, 1, 1, 3, 8, 4, 1, 0, 8, 1, 1, 9 and 1, 1, 9. Solar activity reached was low or weak. That doesn't read right, but anyway. Remaining below warning levels. Geomagnetic reached G1 on the 3rd with low to moderate activity was observed on other day. A weak geomagnetic pulse of 22 nanoteslas was observed on the 3rd at 0958 UTC. On the 7th, a geomagnetic impulse of 11 nanoteslas was observed at 0105 UTC and 9 nanoteslas at 0733 UTC. F2 critical frequencies in South Australia in southern Australia were mostly near predicted monthly value. Depressions of 20% were observed after dawn on the 3rd, depressions of 30% during local day and 15% during local night were observed on the 4th. Forecasts issued on the 8th of March through until the 14th. Solar activity is expected to be at R0 to R1 levels. Active region AR3599 is growing and flare activity is becoming more likely. Geomagnetic activity may reach G1 on the 9th and the 10th, with low levels expected on other days. Maximum usable frequency is likely to be depressed after local dawn on the 9th and the 10th, if geomagnetic activity eventuates. Otherwise, MUFs are expected near predicted monthly value. And that data was courtesy of the Australian Space Weather Forecasting Centre. And now we have the space weather forecast, the space weather summary for February 2024. This is compiled with data from the Australian Space Weather Forecasting Centre. Solar activity in February was ranged from R1 to R3 levels, with 44 R1, 2 R2 and 5 R3 flares. The largest flare of the month was a X6.3 observed on the 22nd, which is almost the largest flare of solar cycle 25 so far. Several shortwave fadeouts were observed in Australian region throughout the month, including strong fadeouts on the 16th, 21st and 22nd, in association with X-class solar flares. The S2 solar radiation storms were observed on the 9th, 10th, 11th and 13th. Following flares and coronal mass ejections, CMEs. While several CMEs were observed in February, none were significantly Earth-directed. CME shock arrivals were observed in solar wind data on the 4th, 11th and 24th. Geomagnetic conditions were mostly quiet throughout February. An isolated period of G1 activity observed in the Australian region on the 11th due to a component arrival of a southwest solar limb, CME, observed on the 9th. Planetary G1 activity was observed on the 27th, associated with an interval of southwest or southward interplanetary magnetic field condition. Weak CME's arrivals were observed on the 4th and the 24th, but did not result in significant geomagnetic activity. The maximum planetary A index observed during February was 15 on the 11th. The maximum Australian index reached 17. Ospheric conditions for HF communications were generally good. The 26th of February saw depressions up to 30% in ospheric frequencies of support, but the depressions were restricted to East Coast Australia during local daylight hours. Numerous shortwave fadeouts were observed during the month, impacting the lower HF frequency. Strong HF fadeouts were observed in association with R3 flare activity, in particular the X6.3 flare on the 22nd. Ospheric equatorial scintillations were observed at Darwin and Weipa on the 8th, 15th, 16th, 19th, 22nd, 23rd and 25th. The Australian T index average for the month was 137.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. To submit news for inclusion in these sessions, please email it to news@arnsw.org.au by the end of business on Friday. You can help us with presentation by writing your news item in the third person and limiting it to about one A4 page in an easily read font. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
And now we have a technical feature. Continuing with our series, introducing various aspects of DMR. Last week we looked at talk loops and their roles in networking. This week Matt, VK2FLY, provides an overview of some of the DMR networks that amateurs can use.
As we have learned, DMR is a type of modulation used to send digital audio over VHF and UHF, but there seems to be different networks. You might ask, isn't DMR all the same? Well, while DMR is all the same, the repeaters used are often connected to each other via the internet. These connections are through a central server or in some cases groups of network servers which allow users of one repeater to talk to people within the range of another. These networks can be run by a wide range of people, and as you can imagine, they don't always see eye to eye. As a result, these networks can sometimes be disparate and not connect to each other. A good example of this is Brandmeister and DMR Mark. Both have international English calling channels. However, if you call CQ on a repeater connected to the Brandmeister network and call CQ on that talk group, someone on the international talk group on DMR Mark network won't hear you. So here's a quick rundown of the major networks worldwide, in no particular order. Brandmeister is the biggest network. It consists of a group of network servers, typically geographically based. It has both connected hotspot users and repeaters. However, the largest group of connected users are on via hotspots. International calling is popular, especially on the International Talk Group 91. There are lots of short, sharp DX-type contacts and often a lot of doubling and confusion. There are many users and often users experimenting on the network. As a result, it can be unreliable at times. The Brandmeister network supports DMR APRS, SMS messaging, and has gateways to some other types of networks. SMS messaging can be, however, unreliable due to the incompatibility between different brands of radios. The TGIF network, or Thank God It's Friday network, is mostly about chat. They have a large net that operates on Friday evenings, US time. The network uses a central server, so connection is easy and generally fairly reliable. The network has well over 6,000 users, and you will usually find someone to chat with. The network also tends to be fairly reliable, being a central server under the control of a small group of admins. Users are friendly and minimal experimentation is permitted. The free DMR network is a bit of a wild west. Mostly operating out of the UK, it's a loose amalgamation of DMR networks that all run the open source DMR code based on HBlink. Experimentation is encouraged and most of the users operate on hotspots. These servers could run at home on Raspberry Pis right up to data center based servers, so your mileage will definitely vary. It's a great network if you want to play around with code, experimenting with linking, and generally do things that amateur radio is famous for. DMR Mark Worldwide Network, incorporating DMR Plus, is the original amateur DMR network. Originally initiated by the Motorola Amateur Radio Club, the DMR Mark network concentrates on simple programming and reliable communications. To that end, the network administrators do not endorse experimentation, and things like linking other networks or connecting analog gateways are typically prohibited. In general, the DMR Mark network is a network that consists of a number of regional bodies running their own servers that are linked together for global communications. But generally, the local groups make their own rules and configure the local network to suit local operations. In Australia, the VKDMR network, of which Amateur Radio New South Wales RadNet repeaters form a part, belong to the DMR Mark network group. In Australia, that's around 60 repeaters and growing, and almost 1,000 repeaters worldwide. At any one time in Australia, more than 270 hotspots are connected, with tens of thousands of users worldwide. The size of this amateur network is truly staggering. If you're interested in Australia's biggest network, check out vkdmr.net or arnsw.net. Now that's just a quick rundown of some of the different options available for connecting to DMR networks, and it's by no means complete. These networks are so large, their user base so vast, some of the information I've discussed here might even have changed by the time you're hearing this. So it's always best to check your local group's website for more information.
And thank you for that information, most of which I did not understand. Anyway, now we come to Ono, VK2FLAB, who continues his weekly examinations of the building blocks of amateur radio.
Technology is a moving feast. New ideas spring new inventions, which in turn change our lives. Amateur radio is at the forefront of such inventions. Radio amateurs have been, until recently, the only soldering iron brigade around. We've been building things for over 100 years, and we continue as a community to think of new ideas and ways to make them happen. For example, we take technologies like All-Starlink, Echolink, wires, and so on, all in our stride. We think nothing of having our radios connected to each other using techniques other than radio spectrum. In November 1997, when iPhone still meant internet phone, an inquisitive 22-year-old amateur called Dave Cameron, VE7LTD, came up with a way to link a radio to the internet, and the first three internet radio linking project stations were connected to each other, and the now global network of IRLP nodes was born. Dave built a DTMF decoder which allowed remote control of a computer and the radio that was attached to it, and made it possible to send the audio from the radio to the sound card of the computer, which in turn sent that audio in digital format across the internet to a similarly equipped system where the audio was turned back into a radio transmission. This bridging idea took off and many different systems were developed, many of which are in active use today. The various systems all use some form of voice over IP to transmit audio across the internet. But there are many variations on how the audio gets to the system in the first place. In IRLP, as I mentioned, the audio can only come in via an amateur radio. Echolink uses a similar system, but in addition to amateur radio as a source, you can register your call sign and use several different applications on your computer or mobile phone to link into the network. All-Star takes this idea further. Instead of making a point-to-point connection, the All-Star system is based around an open-source telephone exchange called Asterisk, and it's used to link together the various systems. Other variations also exist. The idea of using voice over IP techniques spawned a whole set of radio technologies that use similar methodologies to compress voice, and then instead of transmitting it across the internet, use radio waves to send them from one radio to the next. Technologies such as D-Star, System Fusion, MotoBro and DMR built on this idea. Of course, these technologies also use the internet to share information and connect users across the globe. There is some contention around these systems. Many amateurs consider them to be not real radio. But then I suspect if you look at the birth of SSB, you'll find diehard CW operators with a similar complaint. The same is true for low-power propagation modes like WSPR, which aren't real radio because you cannot have a QSO. Other issues in the technical sphere also exist. The IRLP software is closed source. You can only buy IRLP hardware from one place and it doesn't allow you to connect in any other way than via a radio. Echolink now charges for conferences being registered in the system. In the past, I've already spoken about Fusion, D-Star and MotoBro and their restrictions around interoperability, licensing and closed source nature. From a practical perspective, there are also concerns about the use of these systems in the case of massive failures during local disasters and the like. If the internet is down, many of these systems will simply become local radio networks. Coverage could perhaps be extended by creating a local mesh network, but HF radio still very much has its place in our world. For me, this is all about learning and innovation. Ultimately, which system you use is up to you. I live in a software world where open source rules for good reason, and my vote will always go to open source. To be clear, I'm not adverse to making money. We all have to pay the rent. But making innovation and invention secret is not the way to go in our hyper-connected world. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
And for more information about the series, including audio, transcripts and other useful amateur resources, Ono's website is vk6flab.com. And you can contact Ono by email to cq@vk6flab.com.
This is a news broadcast from VK2WI. For voice contact with Amateur Radio New South Wales, telephone 02 9651 1490, which will take you to our message bank. For written contact, write to PO Box 6044, Dural Delivery Centre, New South Wales 2158, or email office@arnsw.org.au. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
And now we have this week's Weissen News. Here's Richard, VK2SKY.
Weissen is supporting Dementia Australia's Memory Walk and Jog events throughout 2024. Today, Weissen was active at events in Cronulla and Penrith. The next one is on the Central Coast on the 12th of May. The Memory Walks are great starter events for new or rusty Weissen members as they take only a couple of hours. Weissen also provides the radios for these events, so you don't even need to bring your own gear. Why not give one a go? You'll find a link to the events list in the text edition of this news. Weissen has also been asked to support a navigation exercise in the Chiron Valley area northeast of Bathurst on the 21st to the 23rd of March, so operators are being sought for this event. To participate in any Weissen event or just find out more about how you can use your amateur radio skills to benefit the community, you can email weissen.ops@vrarescue.org. That's weissen.ops@vrarescue.org. Weissen Nets take place every Sunday evening using FM voice, DMR, P25 or HF voice depending on the week. All Weissen members and other amateurs are welcome to call in. Next Sunday, the 6 p.m. net will be on the Kurrajong 70-centimeter FM repeater, 439.825 megahertz and a 91.5 hertz tone with net controller VK2WIB. And the 6:30 p.m. net will be on HF on or near 7110 kilohertz lower sideband. Net controller VK2WIZ will announce the call-in sequence and other information. Weissen New South Wales is a support squad of VRA Rescue New South Wales, specializing in tactical radio communications. In between activations, Weissen supports local community events. These provide practical training for members and help raise the public profile of amateur radio. To find out more, check out the Weissen New South Wales website at nsw.weissen.org.au. That's nsw.weissen.org.au. Weissen is also on Facebook and on X. There you can find photos and information about recent and upcoming Weissen activities. Links are in the text edition of this news. For information about other Weissen groups around Australia, visit the web at weissen.org.au.
And thank you, Richard. For people, if you want to find out what's happening with Weissen, coming events, do not bother going to the webpage. The webpage for coming events is empty, has been for months. There is a link, however, to previous events. Clicking on that link and you get the reply of access denied. Right, here we go to club news. We start this week with the Oxy Region Amateur Radio Club. The club's March coffee morning is at 10 a.m. this coming Thursday, the 14th, at the Brooklyn Burger Bar, Thrumster, following by the Friday night get-together at 7 p.m. on the 15th at the SES Building, Port Macquarie. The club's very popular 2024 calendar will be available at all upcoming club gatherings. The next Foundation Licence Training and Assessment Weekend will be held over the once the new arrangements with the ACA are in place. Candidates for the Foundation Licence and their assessments for all grades of licences can be registered their interest via internet, and that's on the ORARC website. There are two club nets each week. The mid-weekly net at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday nights, and the weekend net at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. Both are on the VK2 RPM 2-metre repeater. That's 146.7 MHz with a 91.5 Hz CTC SS subaudible tone fraxer. And on EchoLink as VK2RPM-R. Members and visitors are encouraged to participate in the club's on-air nets as often as possible. For more information about the Oxy Region Amateur Radio Club, visit the website at orarc.org. The site contains a wealth of amateur radio items in addition to the club information. The January 2024 issue of the club's bi-monthly newsletter, Oxtails, is now online. The past issues are on the website as well. The club is also on Facebook, so just search for the Oxy Region Amateur Radio Club. And that's from Henry, VK2ZHG, for the Oxy Region Amateur Radio Club. Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. The club rooms at Carryong are open on Saturdays from 10:30 a.m. and always members and visitors are most welcome. The VK2RAG Summersby repeater site. The 6-metre repeater, the D-Star, the RadNet DMR, the 2-metre EchoLink, the 70-centimetre and 23-centimetre repeaters are all fully functional. The Weissen UHF MMDVM is still having problems. The Summersby Web SDR is online at websdr.ccarc.org.au. It's configured to listen on 6-metre, 2-metre, 70-centimetres and 23-centimetres. The club's weekly net is on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. It's on the VK2RAG 2-metre repeater. That's 146.725 megahertz with a 91.5 hertz subaudible tone. And on the CCARC, NSW and HAM EchoLink conferences. It's also live streamed on the club's Facebook page. You can find out more about the CCARC, including information on upcoming social events and all the details we can't tell you about here, on the web at ccarc.org.au, by phone 02-4340-2500, or on social media. Search for the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club and remember to like to follow for updates. That's 73 is from Alan, VK2 Mowat Golf, publicity officer, Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. Okay, we get the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club. One moment. Okay, sorry about that. Stuart decided to listen to the online streaming of the meeting and I'm hearing myself and I'm still hearing myself. The Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club. The next meeting of the club is on Friday, the 5th of April, at the club rooms, 4 Moore Street, Glenbrook, in the Blue Mountain. Doors open from 7 p.m. April's guest speaker will be Russell Bryant, an all-rounder radio scanner aficionado who will give us the benefit of his broad experience in the field of simple systems to the modern complex devices seen today. The club rooms are open twice a month from about 10 a.m. on the morning of the first and third Saturdays, unless otherwise noted on the club's Facebook page. Visitors and prospective new members are always welcome. The club has several weekly nets. They have details in Activities on the Air later in this bulletin and the new net time, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. That's in a few minutes' time. On the first and third Sundays of the month. That's not this Sunday. Good. Okay, on the first and third Sunday of the month, the net is on the club's 6-metre repeater and the 70-centimetre repeater on the fourth and second Sundays of the month. So 70 centimetres tonight. The next foundation class will be on the 13th of April. Upgrade classes continue on Wednesday nights, both on Zoom and in person at the club rooms at Glenbrook. With a 98% pass rate, the club's courses and exam days do fill up quickly. Please contact the club secretary, Irene, VK2VAN, via email to the secretary at bmarc.org for class dates, to register or for more information. More information about the club can also be found on the website at www.bmarc.org. And that's from Steve, VK2TSG, President of the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club. Now, Activities on the Air.
This is VK2WI nearing the end of tonight's news bulletin. The text version of this bulletin will be available from Monday on the Amateur Radio New South Wales website. Also on this site you can find details of our services, membership and general information about amateur radio. The address is www.arnsw.org.au. This is VK2WI. We now continue with this evening's news.
I'm Matthew, VK2YAP.
I'm Stuart, VK2BMX.
It's time for your quick trip around the bands with Activities on the Air.
Daily, Manly Warringah Early Bird Net, 6:30 a.m. on or near 3690 kilohertz lower sideband. If that's too early, the morning net is from 8 a.m. on or near 7189 kilohertz. And Amateur Radio Central West Group, lunchtime net 1 p.m. on VK2RCW.
On Mondays, there's the West Lakes Amateur Radio Club Net, 9:30 a.m. on 40 metres, 7115 kilohertz. Listen for VK2 ATZ Portable. The Great Lakes Radio Club Net is at 7 p.m. on VK2RGL, 147.1 megahertz with a 91.5 hertz tone, and on EchoLink, VK2RGL-R. Hunter Radio Group VK2AWX News is at 7:30 p.m. on 146.975 megahertz. And the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club DMR Net, also at 7:30 p.m. on Brandmeister 50520, hosted by Ben VK2AFK. The Amateur Radio Central West Group Net is at 8 p.m. on VK2RCW. The Lightning Net is at 8 p.m. on 1860 kHz with Net Control Steve, VK2STG. The Haddock Net is at 8 p.m. on VK2RNS, 147.25 MHz. And the Waverley Amateur Radio Society Net, 8 p.m. on VK2RBV, that's 438.1125 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone. For other Waverley activities online and on air, check the website.
Tuesdays, National VKDMR Net starts at 8 p.m. on Talk Group 505. Blue Mountains ARC Net from 8 p.m. on 3543 kHz. St. George Amateur Radio Society Digital Net, 8 p.m. on 146.8 MHz. Illawarra Amateur Radio Society 80 metre net at 8:30 p.m. on 3666 kHz.
On Wednesday, the West Lakes Amateur Radio Club Net is at 9:30 a.m. 7115 kHz. There's also 2 metre nets throughout the week. Check the website for details. The Hunter Radio Group Net is at 7:30 p.m. on 146.975 MHz and on EchoLink node 1474. At 8 p.m, there's the Haddock Net, 3608.5 kHz, the Blue Mountains Amateur Radio Club Net on VK2RBM, 147.05 MHz with a 123 Hz tone, and the Amateur Radio Central West Group Net on 3653 kHz. Then the Armidale and District Amateur Radio Club Net is at 8:30 p.m. on 3633 kHz.
Thursdays, Illawarra Amateur Radio Society Net, 12 p.m. on VK2RMP on 146.850 and VK2RUW on 146.675. Fisher's Ghost Amateur Radio Club Net at 7:30 p.m. on VK2RFG on 438.65 MHz with a minus 7 MHz offset and a 91.5 Hz tone. Also on EchoLink. Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club, 7:30 p.m. on VK2RPM on 146.7 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone. St. George Amateur Radio Society, 8 p.m. on VK2RLE on 146.8 MHz. CCARC Weekly Net from 8 p.m. on VK2RAG on 146.725 MHz with a 91.5 Hz tone, and also on EchoLink.
Fridays, it's Morning Tea with Haddock, 9 a.m. on 7106 kHz. The West Lakes Net, 9:30 a.m, 7115 kHz. And the Amateur Radio Central West Group at 8 p.m, VK2RCW.
Saturdays, West Lakes Stone the Crows Net, 6 a.m. on 3588 kHz. Illawarra Amateur Radio Society, a net at 9:30 a.m. on VK2RMP and VK2RUW. Snowy Mountains Amateur Radio Club Net, 7:30 p.m. on Southeast Network. VK2RFS, 146.75 MHz. VK2RSE on 147.375. And VK3RDH on 146.625. And EchoLink. Sundays, Westlakes DMR Net from 8 a.m. usually on Talk Group 3802, Oxley Region Amateur Radio Club from 9 a.m. on VK2RPM, Wison New South Wales Nets, 6 p.m. on Chatswood 2 metre or Currajong 70 centimetre repeater, 6:30 p.m. on DMR or HF, and 6:45 p.m. on P25. Check website for details.
Don't forget to get your activities on the air here. Send us through the details of your activity, email us, news@arnsw.org.au, or leave a message on the office phone, 02-944-0123.
And thank you, Stuart and Matthew. Our next bulletin will be at 10 a.m. next Sunday morning, including a relay of the national news from VK1WIA. A reminder that we're still seeking volunteers to continue the regular news bulletins. We have places across a variety of roles, including many functions that can be done remotely. For those who previously expressed a desire to take part but can't make it a dual, this is your opportunity. Contact the team by email to news@arnsw.org.au. Now, one of those roles could be actually correlating and putting all the broadcasts together. This is done by some of the board members who have got other things to do with their time. So maybe some people, country people, could decide to do it instead. Only an hour or two on a Friday evening or something like that. But anyway, that's my rant. That's all from the VKWI News for this week. Your announcer has been Peter, VK2EMU, and your engineer has been Stuart, VK2BMX. Callback can be taken shortly. Please call back to the relay stations that provided the broadcast to you. On VK2RDX at Mount Binder, calls will be taken with, thanks to the St George Amateur Radio Society, by Peter VK2JTV. So, hi Peter. And on the VK2RNC Newcastle, Paul VK2APA is standing by. Here at VK2WI, we'll be listening for callbacks for those who took the broadcast directly. In the studio, I'm going to start with 20 metres and go 20, 80, 40, 30 and 160. Engineering Stuart, he'll start with 10 metres and he'll do VHF and UHF frequencies and revise the order. All the best from the broadcast team here at VK2WI. Stay safe and thank you for listening.